allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back, my friends. Welcome back to the broadcast. Thank you for joining us. It's Eric, the Freedom Streamer, with Lori, and we're going to get right back into it because I think we have still have John Lamb on the line. He's so generous with his time. If John is still there, did John drop? Okay, well, I'm glad he's got to go get some sleep. Gave us an hour. That is awesome. What a great broadcast. This is the place where I learn as much as everybody else. It's great to hear John and get all the updates right from the live, right from on scene. From observers and activists who are on the scene actually doing the reporting that nobody else seems to want to do. So God bless John Lamb. Thanks for joining us tonight. Lori, back to you.
Absolutely. And what Chris was speaking about before the break, Chris, think about this, and this is exactly what we've gone over and over and over, and I keep telling the listeners, mastering the human domain. Learn it.
Jade Helm.
Understand it. Jade Helm 15, and so on, and so on, and so on. But mastering the human domain is the totality of the physical, cultural, and social environments that influence human behavior to the extent that success of any military operation or campaign depends on the application of unique capabilities that are designed to fight and win population-centric conflict.
Let me tell the listeners, and then you can continue, where they can find a perfect example of what Lori just described about the mastering the domain in a military operation by co-opting the population. Look up Operation Robin Sage, ROVINSAGE. It's where the military comes into North Carolina, they take over like 11 or 12 counties. They call it Pineland, P-I-N-E-L-A-N-D. They make up their own name as if they're setting up their own country and run around doing military operations. Well, guess what happened? Two of the special ops guys got pulled over by a cop or a trooper, and the cop shot both of them dead because they had automatic weapons and couldn't relay the message quick enough that they're playing army man on our domestic soil, practicing to take over our land, and they ended up paying the ultimate price. Look up two special ops get killed by cop in Operation Robin Sage. But look it up, and that's where you will see the military literally setting up shop, already done it. This is going back a few years, just a couple. It's relatively recent history, but it's worth looking. And they're running this constantly. This operation is something they do. They show an ID that says, I live in Pineland. It's bizarre. They've set up their own little fiefdom there, and they're practicing to take over anywhere and everywhere, including here in the USA. So back to you, Lori.
Right. Well, on the
hearts and minds.
Hearts and minds that you're talking about and what you're talking about, Eric. But this right here, the mastering the human domain is the psychological. They use the computers. They use the social media. They use all of this. So what it's talking about is it is critical, and it's complementary concept to the recognized domains of land, air, maritime, space, and cyberspace. Pay close attention to that cyberspace, everyone. This concept and the addition of the human domain are important because the other domains insufficiently address the human dimension of conflict, although it is deemed a critical component to land power. Further, the addition of human domains similar to the 7th warfighting function will ensure that, quote, we're providing a framework to support and employ the complementary capabilities of special operations and conventional forces, unquote. So what we need to remember is we have covered on many different times that the RAND Area Center has the human domain considerations and implications for the U.S. Army Special Operations Command. The 21st Century Police Force, that is implementing and how you get around the posse comitatus by using NGOs. This, the 7th warfighting function within the Army doctrine, the human domain proposal, it creates conditions within the doctrine to ensure that human who inhabits the operational environment in which the military, and listen to this, interagency operates, is considered deliberate consideration of factors within the human domain, will assist in planning for campaigns, consequence management during operations, post-offensive operations planning, and specifically ensuring that we aren't surprised by a populace's counteraction to our efforts. This entire time, I've told y'all for a very long time that this interconnects with what has been going on in the cyber world, what's been going on with the mainstream media. It's psyops and counter psyops. We went over this in a military document not too terribly long ago. This is very important to understand, because once you understand that, then you also, it helps you to understand also as well the, even the YouTube and the Facebook and the Google and the Google Plus and all of the different aspects of where someone will put truth out there, and then they're going to have the counter to that. Well, what they want to do is, if you remember Operation Desert Storm, I believe is where it was at, when the individuals came up to the U.S. troops and just walked up to and handed down their weapons without fighting or without firing. This is the goal. This is the goal, to win it without having to fire a shot.
This is a really important element, Lori. The 10th Psychological Operations Group, there might be others in different divisions of the military, but this was set up by Colonel Michael Aquino and former Colonel Paul A. LaValle, now General retired Paul A. LaValle, who I think is probably still on staff as a consultant and probably running as an NGO to teach basically what you're talking about is Satanism and psychological operations, where you can win the hearts and minds and convince people to give up because they're so scared because of the illusion of fear that they can impart into the mind of the human being to control them and to get them to submit and comply or die.
And they want to be able to win it without firing a shot. I mean, that's really what they're wanting. The special operations as a warfighting function in January, February 2011 edition of Special Warfare Magazine to Shaping as a warfighting function. And shaping is in quotes, by the way. It says, a recent effort to further explain the potential new warfighting function is this, quote, the seventh warfighting function is defined as the related tasks and systems that support the commander in shaping the operational environment to achieve national strategic objectives, recognizing the common and unique capabilities of both conventional and special operations forces. This warfighting function stresses the importance of conventional and special operations forces, and it stresses the importance of the special operations forces and conventional forces working interdependently, and considers the role of the related concepts of building partner capacity, special warfare, and surgical strike. It also helps commanders and their staffs advise, assist, and train partners to enable them to contribute to global security and stability. Can we scream UN Agenda 21? So the psychological operations has definitely been going on hugely through this trial. And this is the trial of the century. And because of truth and because of people who love our land and our people enough, they have taken it upon themselves, not because they've been paid by George Soros. No, they do it on their own dime to sit in those courtrooms. They spend time away from their families to sit in those courtrooms to make sure the truth gets out. Why? Because just like it says in the military document that I'm reading, It is the USAWC Civilian Research Project. And Lieutenant General Keith Walker noted, quote, "The rising velocity of human interaction through the internet and social media makes influencing human behavior the centerpiece of military strategy," unquote. If that doesn't
if that's not an admission as to what's going on with YouTube, Google, Facebook, Twitter, and all of this smashing of any conservative-ish or freedom-minded thought, I don't know what is. Now you know where it's coming from.
Right. And you can find the USAWC Civilian Research Project. Type in those words. Look it up. It's from the Institutionalizing Interdependence, U.S. Army Special Operations Forces / Conventional Forces, No Turning Back. It's what it's called, by Lieutenant Colonel Promotable Mitchell D. Franks, United States Army. You can find it. It is accessible online. So it is one of those things that's very important to dissect, because once you start connecting the link, you realize that the 21st century police force and all of this is interconnected with the Special Operations Command and Special Operations Forces, which are connected with the connected along with the CFR, Council on Foreign Relations. Remember that one, Tom, where we exposed that and it interconnected with what they wanted to do. They're basically trying to make that United Nations police force is what they're trying to do. And they have to be able to win the hearts and minds, because they
the
certainly don't have enough money to do it.
Yep. The RAND Corporation report into why it was imperative that they that the Posse Comitatus Act was an impediment to the fusion of a military and state federal police force merged, which they already started preparing for with the fusion centers, but now they had the last aspect of it was to bring the military in and fuse it all together. And RAND Corporation, who works as a think tank for the, you know, the policymakers, because they're private and they're not a subject to freedom of information the way the rest of the government agencies are, produced a report basically outlining how that was an impediment. I got to drop out, Lori. God bless you all.
God bless y'all. So as we're talking about mastering the human domain, why did I bring that up? Because the previous document that I went over with you and only mentioned a little bit, where I was talking about law enforcement being propagandized and sheriffs being propagandized through the Department of Homeland Security being propagandized. Well, on this document, the domestic violent extremists pose increased threat to government officials and law enforcement report on July 22nd, 2014, one of the other concerns is when you go down to the bottom of this document, they're using sources like CNN for some of the information. They're using sources that have been proven to be liars as sources for this actual Homeland Security document, not because it was proven, but because they reported it. Here's just some of the ones that they quote as sources for it. Okay? They report, let's see, which one? News 8, 8 News Now. Okay? They quote, FBI investigating Bundy's supporter in BLM dispute, unquote. They're using that one. They use the Review Journal. They use CNN. CNN's is, quote, police killer Las Vegas couple shouted about revolution, posted rants online, unquote. And anyone who's been following what's been going on for a long period of time knows that CNN has not only been reporting fake news, they've been busted in it so much that they've had to apologize for it as well. And so you can go down this list of documents. I have given that to Mike and to Tom. Hopefully they'll be able to get that up for you to be able to access yourself, read through this, because our law enforcement and our sheriffs are also being propagandized, and they're being sent these documents to make them fear the people. and they want the people to fear the law enforcement. And so that becomes an issue on that. So they use all this justification, and they quote the Bundy standoff in this. Well, no trigger was ever pulled. There wasn't even any assault at all from any of the protesters at the Bundy Ranch. This is one of the reasons that they're having such a hard time, because the federal government is hiding and has been hiding and has been caught hiding evidence, including shredding documents, hiding emails, refusing to have witnesses whom were imperative to the case, including Daniel Love, who just so happened to be one of the individuals who was the one that went before the grand jury in order to get these indictments to go down. When aren't people going to be held accountable? And I'm talking about also in news media. If you don't have the facts, or if you make a mistake, that's one thing. Be willing to correct it quickly. Apologize for it and move on. But to intentionally target individuals, for instance, like trying to paint Klein Van Bundy as a terrorist, Harry Reid went out on public TV when this stuff was going on with the Bureau of Land Management, calling him a domestic terrorist. And they are getting by with this, and mainstream media is feeding into that narrative because it not only gives them ratings, because that's what they are about, but they are following that line of where their donations are coming from. And many of them are also very pro-UN Agenda 21 because they think they're going to be the ones to benefit. Apparently, Chris and Eric, they haven't read history too well, what happens to those who put those in power that want that power, because from what I remember, usually the ones who helped to implement that when they became knowing too much, or they became a threat to the ones who finally obtained power by using those individuals, they then turned around and assassinated them as Stalin and Hitler, correct? Okay, so the funny about this is they are using the 14th Amendment, the 14th Amendment that they have used to go after all of we the people, and this is the section one of the 14th Amendment that they are referring to, and it says all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws. And because of that, what they have done, the same one that they used to entrap all of the people of the United States of America, has come back to fight them, because Giglio v. United States, that's a 14th Amendment due process clause, and when the prosecution failed to disclose exculpatory evidence to the defense, even if the individual prosecutor was unaware of the undisclosed information, then it is a violation. Now, I wanted to let you know that the Brady Rule itself, this is what it says about the Brady Rule in the Legal Information Institute. It says the Brady Rule, named after Brady v. Maryland, requires prosecutors to disclose materially exculpatory evidence in the government's possession to the defense. A Brady material or evidence the prosecutor is required to disclose under this rule includes any evidence favorable to the accused, evidence that goes towards negating a defendant's guilt that would reduce a defendant's potential sentence, or evidence going to the credibility of a witness. And on that note, we'll be back with you after a couple of words from our sponsor. Please hang with me.
The smoke is rising in the shadows overhead.
homeowners. Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. This is Lori Anderson hosting with Eric Hughes Jones and Tom Lacavera Stewart. And I wanted to remind you that at this point in time, the trial of the century has turned into an all-out boxing match on paper. It definitely reminds me of the Rocky story. So as the federal government has been caught with their hand in the cookie jar with seven Brady violations admitted and acknowledged by Judge Navarro in front of the jury in open court today, she also spoke about double jeopardy. There are also other alleged Brady violations that are being heard behind closed doors in those secret meetings. Is that constitutional? No, really, it's not constitutional. But unfortunately, we're having to deal with that. The amazing thing that Ammon Bundy said, I want to repeat that. We played it in the very first hour when we first came on the show. But he made a very, very true statement. And this is his quote. He said, "What we are fighting for is to maintain those principles of freedom that have built up this country. That the whole reason we have our freedom in the first place. That's what we're defending. We're not defending whether we get to eat the grass on public land. That's part of it. But we're defending the rights and the liberties of the people. That was stated by Ammon Bundy today, December the 11th, 2017. And it really could not be better said. So as the governments got caught with their hands in the cookie jar on when they lied about, oh, there were no snipers there. Well, that's come out during this trial. There were snipers on the Hill, and there were pictures proving it. There were emails that have not been turned over as of yet from Dan Love, which was also caught with his hands in the cookie jar on a different report because of the Burning Man situation. Also, there was video evidence that was withheld. The government failed to even admit that they had any video evidence. They hid that. They shredded documents. That was also found out. And then, of course, the wiretapping, probably or possibly without a warrant. I know that should not surprise anybody, but that was when a BLM agent was speaking with Clancy Cox. Now, if you don't know who Clancy Cox is Clive and Bundy's son-in-law. And what BLM wanted to do is they wanted to have Clancy Cox in on and be their CI, or confidential informant, if you will. Now, while all of this is going on in the mainstream media for years, has painted these individuals as horrendous militia and all of this other stuff, and $1 million owed by Clive and Bundy, and tried to paint him as a freeloader. Well, the documents have also come out in this trial that not only was that a flat-out lie, Clive and Bundy, even if he did owe the federal government, which there's no contract on that, so really in reality, that is yet to be seen. I don't see how they can enforce that because he refused to contract with them when they were not doing their job of taking care of the land. So that would have only been $8,815. Yes, let me repeat that again. $8,815. While mainstream media and Harry Reid and the federal government all of this time have tried to claim that they were going after Clive and Bundy's cattle for $1 million, it was not. It was $8,815. Let's make this very clear so that this can make it even connect the dots even better. A prize bull can go for more. One prize bull can go for more than that amount of money. The BLM and the non-government organization individuals who were there to quote-unquote round up those cattle were never given orders and allowed to destroy any type of property. Oh, it has now come out and has been found out in the court that they were destroying pipelines, the water, the part that Clive and Bundy and his son took and they put in, and they improved the land in order to be able to get water to the cattle and any other wildlife that actually went around. They didn't run them off. It gave them a source of water. So as they improved land, they violated even the court order that was originally given. And that right there is also in dispute because it had been so long since that order was issued. And then all of a sudden they decided to go back and pick it up. And it was a convenient amount of timing. So under $8,815, they are trying to obtain all of his cattle and allegedly to sell it and give back the money to Clive and Bundy, which we know wasn't true. We will continue on this topic after a couple words from our sponsor. Please hang with us.
This is the most transparent administration in history.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read a few from Amazon.com. Dr. Sam Serino reviewed the Extendivite product. Good ingredients, feeling much better since taking product. It seems that the tablets work well. Once again, thank you for your product. My acid reflux is really improved thanks to the Extendivite. Together with my thumb joints, the pain is gone and I'm able to grip things much better. My friend has peripheral arterial disorder and their lower legs were hurting at a red color, but thankfully there has been a significant improvement. Kind regards, Janice. My husband feels a big difference using Extendivite. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Upset you out. Don't you know everything's all right? Yes, everything's fine. And we want you to sleep well tonight. Let the world turn without you tonight. If we try, we'll get by, so forget all about us tonight.
Everything's all right. Yes, everything's all right.
Welcome back, my friends. Welcome back to the broadcast. And we kick it right back to Lori Anderson. Thanks for joining us tonight on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Eric, the Freedom Screamer. We also have Gary and Chris, who can chime in at any time they'd like to. Lori, back to you.
Absolutely. So what I was discussing with you all was the corruption, but I wanted to explain the Brady Rule or read the Brady Rule to you. So what it states about the Brady Rule, of course, Brady v. Maryland, requires prosecutors to disclose materially exculpatory evidence in the government's possession of to the defense. A Brady material or evidence the prosecutor is required to disclose this under this rule includes any evidence that is favorable to the accused, evidence that goes towards negating a defendant's guilt, that will reduce a defendant's potential sentence, or evidence going to the credibility of a witness. If the prosecution does not disclose material exculpatory evidence under this rule and prejudice has ensued, the evidence will be suppressed. The evidence will be suppressed regardless of whether the prosecutor knew the evidence was in his or her possession or whether or not the prosecutor intentionally or inadvertently withheld the evidence from the defense. Further, in cases subsequent to Brady, the Supreme Court has eliminated the requirement for a defendant to have requested a favorable information, stating that the prosecution has a constitutional duty to disclose that is triggered by the potential impact of favorable but undisclosed evidence. Kyles v. Whitley and United States versus Bagley. The defendant bears the burden to prove that the undisclosed evidence was both material and favorable. In other words, the defendant must prove that there was or there is a reasonable probability that the outcome of the trial would have been different had the evidence been disclosed by the prosecutor, the Kyles. Bagels and Kyles court further defined that materially standard, outlining the four aspects of materiality. First, the reasonable probability of a different result is not a question of whether the defendant would more likely than not have received a different verdict with the evidence, but whether the government's evidentiary suppression undermines the confidence in the outcome of the trial. The second aspect is that it is not a sufficiency of evidence test. The defendant only has to show that the favorable evidence could reasonably be taken to put the whole case in such a different light as to undermine the confidence in the verdict. Third aspect is that there is no need for a harmless error review, because a Brady violation, by definition, could not be treated as a harmless error. Fourth and final aspect of materiality, the Kyles court stressed, was that suppressed evidence must be considered collective, not item by item. Looking at the cumulative effect to determine whether a reasonable probability is reached. So that is the information on the Brady rule. And of course, as stated earlier in Giglio, G-I-G-L-I-O v. United States, if you want to look it up, in the Supreme Court held that the prosecution violates the 14th Amendment Due Process Clause when it fails to disclose exculpatory evidence to the defense, even if the individual prosecutors are unaware of the undisclosed information. So as that 14th Amendment entrapped each and every person, and Tom has covered this at nauseam, and Eric has covered this, and Chris has covered this, and I have covered this too, that it was never lawfully ratified, yet it has been used to entrap each and every individual in the United States of America. This is what is being used because of this right here. They're getting entrapped by their own 14th Amendment at this point. So, of course, the prosecutors have been exposed for concealing information time and time again. And Mr. Dan Love, he also is one of those that really needs to be looked at because, of course, he was found to have violated federal ethics rules by the Office of the Inspector General, or the OIG, and it was his testimony to the grand jury that was the driving factor for the indictments against the Bunkerville defendants in the first place. So when I say this is a trial of the century, it really, truly is, not just because of all of the interesting back and forth. This is a boxing match on paper, everyone, and this is really one that is going to go down in the history books, never, hey, hopefully, to be forgotten. Yes, Chris?
Your observation is very accurate, except for one thing. It's actually a war, because
yes,
courts were created to replace armed combat on the field of battle by a war of wits and paper in their so-called courts. And you're exactly correct in your analogy. I wanted to compliment you.
Oh, well, thank you very much. And, you know, just with what you said, Chris, as you know, too, you're right, because our court, or these courts, have been turned into military tribunals. And you can know that they solidified it in 2012 through the 2012 NDAA.
In fact, there is another word that wordsmiths and students of law should look at back there. And it's called JUS, J-U-S, just the law, fecialis, F-E-T-I-A-L-E-S, sometimes spelled F-E-C-I-A-L-E-S, and sounding a lot like feces because it is a lot of poop. is a secret silent war to absolute destruction of anyone they can ensnare into their schemes of court, if you look those two terms up separately.
Exactly. Well, I am really excited because, as you know, there are some phenomenal attorneys that are helping the Ammon, Cliven, and but Ryan is representing himself, and he is doing a phenomenal job. But because of Ryan being able to do that, there is a lot of things that have been able to come out in this, in front of the jury, in this trial, that wouldn't have otherwise come out. For instance, when he had the individual on the stand and the individual admitted that they took an oath, but they didn't know it, and so he had to refresh their memory, and he got to educate on the Constitution right there to the judge, the prosecution, the jury. We know that if he had not been standing up for himself in that courtroom, that that would have never been able to get in there. And it's just amazing to watch this. But this is, everyone needs to realize, you know, if the, even though the Bill of Rights or the Bill of Limitations is what I like to call them, even though that that's the amendments that everybody is quoting, these are supposed to be limits on the federal government, not on the people. You're talking about First Amendment, because it's not only freedom of speech, everyone, it's freedom of assembly, it's redress of grievances, it's freedom of the press, it's freedom of speech. Every bit of the First Amendment was trampled. Second Amendment, you have Fourth Amendment, you have Seventh Amendment, you have Eighth, Ninth, Tenth Amendment, you have, I believe, Sixth Amendment as well. And cruel and unusual punishment shall not be given either. That's Eighth. So we need to remember, this literally goes down the entire list. This is private property rights. This is public property. If it is public property, tell me how you can give a ticket for trespass. Honestly, because public property is supposed to mean for the public, period. But they have retwisted that and issued that. Oh, no, public property means that it belongs to us and we might give you permission to use it every once in a while. No, that's really not what it meant. You guys need to go back to the drawing board and start actually reading some documents and get educated. And we don't hate anybody. We want to help inspire you to learn, dig further into the documents, not just the founding documents or the quote-unquote Federalist Papers. Read the Anti-Federalist Papers. Read the secret hearings of the Continental Congress. You want some eye-opening material? You're going to get some. The first time that I personally have, the earliest time that I have seen the North American Union, which we fight today, by the way, because otherwise we're a continent. We're not a union. And we have a right to have a heritage that belongs to us. Just like if I go somewhere else in the world, if I were to go to France, I want to see the French culture. If I were to go to Saudi Arabia, I would want to see their culture. If I were to go to Mexico, I want to see their culture. I don't want to see America over there. If I were to go to Canada, I want to see the Canadian culture. If I want to go to Asia, I want to see their culture. I do not want to see America over there. Just as if other individuals should not want to see ours over there in their countries or nation states or whichever the case may be. Because there is beauty in individuality. And we can learn so much from each other, but when you do that pretext of coexist and you mesh that, then culture is lost everywhere. What do you think about that, Chris? Do you agree with that? Eric?
Yes, ma'am. I've been listening intently. It's excellent points you're making. It's into the psychology of the whole. Yeah, I'm enjoying what you're having to say, Lori. I agree with your observations. You're right. Right on the. I think we're all on the same page on this.
Well, I definitely. If people are not paying attention to this trial, they definitely need to be. They definitely need to be. And it's kind of hard for a lot of people. In, for instance, Eric, let's say they've got two jobs, they've got tons of kids. You know, and they're just doing everything they can do to make ends meet, right? So it's really hard to go dig and try to find things. And that's why we try to pull here the news for you so that we can give it to you and you not have to do as much digging and finding the information that maybe we would have to do. It's important, right. But you're not going to get it from the fake news media. That the only thing they worry about ratings, and they repeat whatever is put on the board, and they don't even question whether it's accurate, you know? And it's sad. It is really sad. If I'm going to say something, I want to know at least it's accurate. I'm going to do a little bit of digging. And I wonder, I don't know, but I wonder if they don't even know what's being put on the teleprompter until they go live on air,
They know. They know. They're practicing willful blindness. And it's a betrayal of the public confidence. You're absolutely right. That's why this network is such a resource, and we appreciate everybody for tuning in. Lori, I wanted to mention a sponsor of this broadcast, a patriot, a Christian, and a fantastic product. I wanted to give it some time and try it on a few different situations. And Lori, you've mentioned this, you've used it, and you'll fully concur. The Pruitt's tree resin is amazing stuff.
It has
incredible healing properties. And I'm picky about, you know, it's very simple. It's tree resin, and it's if people go to pruittstreeresin.com, I just wanted to mention that because he's definitely a big supporter of this broadcast. He's a patriot family. It's a Christian family. It's everything's made here in the USA. And so people go to Pruitt's, P-R-U-I-T-T, Pruitt. P-R-U-I-T-T-S, PruittsTreeResin.com. And if you're going to purchase something, enter the promo code FreedomScream, and it helps fund the broadcast. So I'm going to bring in some other sponsors to help keep everybody up and running.
Eric,
if people can support these good outfits, that would be a big help to everybody. Go ahead, Chris.
Added note on the Pruitt's tree resins. That's David Pruitt, a personal friend of mine, him and his father both. And they're about four generations deep in the harvesting of pure tree resins from numerous different pine varieties, which each one has its own special healing benefit, or at least making things better for human beings and even for animals, too. So it's certainly a product worthy of taking a look at, and very, very efficacious, being of great value.
Well, I can tell you that I personally use it on my grandchildren, and it has helped with get rid of ear infections with the cocoa resin. And I only had to do it for 2 days in my grandchildren's ear, and this was after antibiotics and all the stuff because the mother used to be very, very firm believer and always getting it to the doctor, and the baby was given antibiotics and all this other junk, and it just wouldn't go away for 3 months. And then she came over to me and asked me, you know, I was like, well, this can't hurt him. And so 2 drops in his ears twice a day for 2 days, completely gone. And then when she took him back to the doctor was like, oh, wow, his ear looks amazing. And there's nothing wrong with it now, and this, that, and the other. So that was the cocoa resin.
Wow.
And
that's
I also have, I use it on the tree resin, the path. I use that one, any cuts, scrapes, or whatever the case may be, because my grandchildren, most of them are boys. So they're all boy. They like to play. And I use it on myself. You know, I really do. And it works. And it's definitely all natural, you know. It's not quote unquote a medicine. It is not. It is a natural remedy for ailments that is used to help the body rejuvenate itself. And
I'm glad Chris mentioned that it's also multi-generational. It's been in their family for four generations now. And it is used on animals and livestock as well mm-hmm. as, you know, people. So it's mm-hmm. just incredible stuff. It works on, they use it quite a bit on horses. I tried it on my dog. He had a little teeny growth on his back that I couldn't quite get rid of. And this stuff really knocked it down to where you can see it's in a healing mode and it's on its mm-hmm. way out. It's going to scab up and just disappear. So it's really, it's amazing stuff. I wanted to try it myself before I recommended it. It's really incredible, and so people go check out Pruitt's tree resin. It's great. Oh, and also David Pruitt tells me that it's fantastic to have in your bug out pack because it doubles as a fire starter. With a couple little drops, you can almost make like a candle out of it in an emergency. It has multi uses, so I thought that was kind of funny. But it's meant for topical and semi internal use. You know, like you can use it in your nose. You can use it on a canker sore in your mouth, internal, like Lori said, with an internal ear infection. And the stuff, mm-hmm. I can just tell you from firsthand experience, it really works well. So please support a local domestic company. Everything's made here in the USA, and it's a good patriot family, so to speak. So anyway, I just wanted to bring that into the mix. And so back to you, Lori.
Absolutely. So I wanted to tell you something about another one of these, the Bundy connected political prisoners, because I want people to really realize just what type of individuals and hardcore caring people they are. John Ritzheimer, he is going to be going to prison, but his service continues to help his fellow defendants. And this is what was reported by Gary Hunt, who also was targeted, by the way, because of his reporting and getting confidential informants' names out there. Of course, it was public information, by the way. It was in court documents. It's not like he snuck and leaked anything. It was on the information, and he got it out to the people and was targeted by the government.
Right.
And,
Lori, real
but John
quick,
Ritz,
I just real quick so listeners can get and check up on him. Gary Hunt's material was posted by us up at courtroomwatch.org or courtroomwatch.com. Where it says the witch's court doesn't want you to read this. That was the stuff that Gary Hunt published that got him in trouble. But unfortunately for the witch's court, it's long since previously public information. They had to let Mr. Hunt free, and all the information's up there at courtroomwatch.com with the Gary Hunt, the Burns Chronicles. That's what you want to read. Mm-hmm. Very interesting writings
yes.
on the entirety of what went down at Malheur in Oregon. Back to you, Lori.
Right. So John Ritzheimer, it says, had some things to say after he was sentenced by Judge Anna Brown, which of course is in Oregon, to serve 1 year and 1 day. However, with time served and good time, he'll probably serve only 8 more months, beginning in February when he has to begin his sentence. Below is a letter sent for me to get out for those who wish to see our once great nation return to obedience to the Constitution as written and intended. Also explains John's continued willingness to help those who've been required to pay restitution as part of their sentence. Though I've known about this and his intention in this regard for some time, it is time for all to know how kind and caring John's heart really is. Two guns are going to auction. We're the only two that were not confiscated by the government. They are truly historical pieces. And these are two guns that were part of Occupy Malheur. This will be explained in the following letter. So I'm going to go ahead and skip down to the following letter because of the time constraint that we do have. This is John's letter. Consider this my post-sentence statement that I never got to make due to the marshal's office needing to see me after my sentencing. I want to start by thanking everyone who has stood by my side through all of this and continues to support me and my family as well as the other Patriot families. We're still having to endure what appears to be a vindictive persecution. I am truly humbled by the compassion that I have received during this. On November 30th, I was sentenced to 1 year and 1 day by Judge Anna Brown. While it is not what I personally wanted, I feel it is a small price to pay and pales in comparison to what I've had to watch my fellow patriots go through thus far. I want people to know that I am okay with the sentence and looking forward to serving it and moving on with my life. I have every intention of wearing my conviction as a badge of honor. I have had a few people questioning me about my apology in court, so I would like to take this opportunity to clarify that. I did read through the victim statements that were submitted, and while it was very obvious that some of them were embellished, it was also very clear that some of these people were actually afraid because the FBI came to their house and falsely told them that they were in danger. It was never my intention for anyone to feel afraid of us. So my apology is on an individual and personal basis. It was not, however, an apology to the government. I'm still very displeased with how things have been going in this government. Next, I would like to address the symbolic statement I made by removing my military medals from my chest during sentencing and telling the judge that I am no longer proud of these. I want people to know that I have not been proud of them for a while now, and it is because I've accepted the reality that while I was in Iraq, just following orders, I was not upholding my oath to the Constitution. I did not mean this to be any form of disrespect to my fellow veterans. I believe fighting by my brother's side in Iraq to ensure that they had a better chance of returning home to their families was a good enough reason to be there at this point. But the overall mission that in an undeclared and unconstitutional war has not one bit of valor to it. This government has the most blood on its hands, but has never had to feel the blood on its hands like me and my brothers have actually had to do. And as a man who is now working on the fine art of forgiveness, I'm finding it difficult to forgive this government. I would like to now shift gears and address the statements made by the government during my sentencing. I found myself lying in bed the night I was sentenced and kicking myself in the butt because I failed to point out some very important facts that the government strategically left out. They called me a, quote, leader in this endeavor, and I am honored to be known as one of the few that led some of the most honorable people I have ever met. They submitted a picture that had a breakdown of the chain of command at the refuge and pointed out that I was known as rogue. But what they failed to point out was that the one-third of the names that they claimed I was the leader of were informants. So just to be clear, paid informants came to the refuge and asked me where they could be of assistance and gave the false impression that they were there to help. But in reality is that this looks more and more like entrapment as things continue to unfold. They also spoke about the night of January the 5th. They read off a small piece of larger statement I made about taking a defensive position and pointed out that I was dressed in camo and had an AR-15 slung on my back that night. They said I did this because I wrongfully thought the FBI was going to raid the refuge that night. It should be known that the only reason we thought the FBI was going to come in that night was that paid informant named Mark McConnell came to the refuge on that day and told us that the FBI was coming in and they were going to shoot first and ask questions later. And on that note, we've run out of time. So, as always, everyone, thank you for joining us this evening. Join us again tomorrow night. As always, watch your back, check your facts. Semper Fi, Alice, and I hope you have a wonderful night. Thank you, Eric, Chris, Gary, and everyone for hanging with us tonight. And spread the message about the trial of the century.
Good night, everybody. Join us again tomorrow night.